Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari
Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda
Jai Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda Jai Hari Govinda
Yeah.
सवितुर्वरेण्यम्
भर्गो
देवस्य धीमहि
Oh,
the Gayatri Mantra comes from the Chandas, Gayatri Chandas. And it is also popularly known as Savitri Mantra, which we will see today what is the reason for that. As well, it is called Vedasar. And so this is why the youngster at the age of Upanayanam is initiated into this as a beginning qualifier for the study of the Vedas. So for that reason, it is also called Vedasara, and also for the reason that the ideas contained in this one mantra is the essence of all of the Vedas, which we will also see today how that is the case. So we also saw that it really should be looked upon in three different sections. So the first section is the praise, which is really all. And Bhuv Bhuva Swaha, which are called Vyahiti, which we will do just now, are really not part of the Gayatri Mantra. It is something which is added on as a explanation of and confirmation of Om. So Om and Bhuv Bhuva Swaha are really the same thing, as you will see today. So this is really the main element for the first section, which is praise. Om is the praise, as well as a recognition. Because really the best form of praise, as we saw last week, is understanding. Because you cannot really praise anything until you understand the essence of it, the importance of it, what it really means. That is the best form of praise, really speaking. Understanding is the best form of praise. Otherwise, it is just on words alone. So we also saw, this is an important thing, that in this mantra, you also have the progression of a human being. How in the beginning, you just repeat it. And then you begin to understand it, and you begin to really imbibe in it. And it's true even in our daily life. For example, when the child is taking some steps and so on and so forth, and somebody gives something to the child, so the mother says to the child, "Say thank you. Say thank you." Oh, mother, child says, "What do you mean? What is that? Say thank you. Say thank you." So after a while, the child also gives up the first thing. He's not understanding what it's saying or anything like that. But it's good. It's good to have the words all done and so on and so forth. Then as the child grows up, it appreciates that somebody gives something to me. I need to reciprocate. So the words that did not have a meaning in the beginning begin to have a meaning and the understanding. The same thing is true for really all of our satya also. So in the beginning, just say Om, Bhur, Bhuva, Svaha, and so on. But then as you begin to understand the real meaning of all of this, you grow through it and begin to it. So that progression should be kept in mind. So what we saw was the three sections are praise, meditation, which is Tat Savituhu Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, and the last one is a prayer, which is Dhiyo Yo Nas Prachodayat. These are the three ones. I remember this several months ago. I was just going through the internet, and Sai Baba had given lecture on this. And in fact, it's interesting, if you go to the Sai Baba site, they will have a number of because every year he people request him. This is a very popular thing to do. He meets thousands of people. So there, several months ago, I saw there was one lecture that he had given. He said that it is very good to look at the Gayatri Mantra in these three sections. And so that was really rung a bell. Okay, so these are the three sections. Now let's look at the continuation of the section one, which we saw last week, which is Om, Bhu, Bhuvaha, Swaha, or Suvaha. Either one is fine. Today we saw that Om is an appropriate word symbol for Ishvara. And it's a non-denominational word symbol, not religious. Why is that? Because it is a word symbol, a sound symbol, really speaking, a sound symbol of the Lord, non-denominational. Why is that? Because the sound is endemic to all human beings. And the word Om is encompassing the beginning, the middle, and the end of all human beings. We start with then we have a lot of middle ones, e, u, u, here symbolized with u, and then we close our mouth with om. So if someone were to have a symbol of completeness, non-denominational complete, doesn't matter whether it's Christian or Hindu or whatever it is, it would be om, and that's what it is. It has become sectarian and so on, people say Om and so on and so forth. In fact, there is quite a bit of sense to say the Christian Amen comes from Om as well. Anyway, that's besides the point. So we saw a little bit of that, and in the 2 days that we have, each one of these really requires several classes, so we don't have the time to do that. But if you have, for example, Mandukya Upanishad, the whole thing is just on all this stuff. Just one thing alone. So we'll leave at that and then go on to the next section, which is Bhuhu, Bhuhaha, Swahaha. So let's look at this part. Make sure I don't disturb you. So these three are what is called Vyahiti. Vyahiti. In fact, the plural of that would be, Vyahiti is singular, would be called Hitayaha. Vyahitayaha. Or you can use it as a single form, Vyahiti. So Vyahiti is a sacred utterance. Before any Vedic ritual, to look up a meaning, which I did, to see what Vyasiti is. This is the meaning that you come up. It is it's almost like a sankalpa. And Om, of course, is the main one. But oftentimes, before very formal Vedic rituals, yajnas, and so on and so forth, this utterance is pronounced, and this is for that, just the name of that is given as Vyasa. Alright, having said that, this is also explained in various Upanishads, exactly what Vyasiti is. And so what I will do is chant for you a section out of the Taittiriya Upanishad that talks about Vyasa. So just listen, it will take about a minute or two, and I'll just pronounce the Taittiriya Upanishad, which is on the first section, the 10th subsection, 10th, 11th, and 12th, three subsections. And then I will explain the meaning of that. So let me go through that first.
Om Bhur Bhuvatsuva. Om Bhur Bhuvatsuva Ritiva Etastitro Vyapitayaha Tata Mughat Maitam Chaturthim Mahachamatya Pravedayate Mahiti Sadbrahma Sahatma Angananya Devata Aha Bhuritiva Ayam Lokaha Bhuvaityantariksham Suvairityasau Lokaha Mahaityadityaha Adityena Vavasarve Loka Mahiyante Bhuritiva Asmihi Bhuvaiti Vayuhu Suvairityadityaha Mahaiti Chandrama Aha Chandramasa Vavasarvani Jyoti Gumshi Mahiyante Bhuriti Varvichaha Bhuvaiti Samani Suvariti Radyugumshi Mahaiti Brahma Brahmana Vavasarve Veda Mahiyante Bhuriti Vaipranaha Bhuvaityapanaha Suvaritya Vyanaha Mahaityannam Annena Vavasarve Eprana Mahiyante Tava etas chatastras chaturdha chatastras chatastras chatastro vyahitayaha Sayo veda saveda brahma sarve esmai deva balima vahanti.
This is a section on vyahita. Again, this requires a lot of time, a lot of classes and so on. I do not go into the details of that, but let me, in the spirit of the summary, just give you what the meaning of that. I would prefer to have all the questions in the end. So, what we should do is just give you, in a tabular form, the meaning of the four of the three vyahitas, Bhur, Bhuvat, Svaha. And this was taught to us by Swami Dhananji in the PSC course in 1981, and so I looked at my notes of that in terms of the tabular form. There's a lot of meaning to it, so unfortunately we don't have the time to go into all of that, but at least to get a sense of exactly how the meanings are laid out. So, we still have 5 columns and 4 rows. Okay? And I'm going to fill up the bottom 3 rows first and then do the top one later on. So I'm going to start with who. So this is what is called Prathama Vyahiti. Prathama means first. First vyahiti. Bhuhu. Idam lokaha. Then, Dvitiya, Dvitiya, second. him. Then, Ubaha. Asau lokaha. Adityaha. Yadumshi. Dhyana. So, just to keep a kind of overall picture, because you can get lost into a detail, there's a lot of detail, a lot of information here. What is said here is completeness in different forms. It's really basically completeness. So, for example, if you look at, so also another thing is that the whole creation is essentially one person. Just like, for example, as we've been studying in our classes also, that you are one person. And in that one person, you have a lot of limbs. And these limbs are all working together. They're all different functionaries and different, they have different roles to play, but they work together, complement each other into providing a whole person. And not only that, you may know this, you have literally 1 billion people inside your body. You have every cell is an individual. As you interview the cell, supposing, and say, how are you doing? He says, I'm doing well, and so on. Where are you? He says, I'm over here. You know this guy called Vijay Kapoor? And he says, I'm not in my own life. I'm just busy with my own stuff, and so on. And there are microbes, and there's so much going on. It's like a city, and it's like a whole world in itself. And yet, there is one person. And I think I am a main person.
I may not have any control over you, but at least I can do anything I want to do with you, and so on and so forth.
There is one person. Similarly, the whole creation is one person, which is nothing but Ishwara. And so this macrocosmic view of this one person has certain parts. And it could be that has some real things to it, or it could be just for upasana, it almost doesn't matter. So the completeness of the whole thing has certain parts. One part of that is what is visible here in terms of our earth. And so this is Bhuvaha. I'm sorry, Bhuvaha. And so this is what is called Idam Lokaha. Idam Lokaha means this world. One which is visible to us, which we can interact with, we can experience every day. This is called Idam Lokaha. And the Vedas tells us that, listen, this is not the only Lokaha. There are a lot of worlds that you can aspire to. And try to avoid also. The Naraka Lokaha avoid, and there is also Swarga Lokaha that you should aspire to, and there are different experiences. You're not limited to just one physical body, you don't even have to eat anything. For us to really survive, we have to eat three, four times a day. Sometimes we eat 6, 7 times a day. That's different. But at least we have to eat a couple of 2, 3 times a day that we survive. In Swarga Loka, you don't need to eat. There is no growth of the body. You just suddenly find yourself there, and really food is just for enjoyment. You just smell the food and you just enjoy it. That's it. No eating. There's no hunger as such. So there are different experiences. So this is what is called Asau Loka. Asau Loka means that Loka. In Paroksha Loka, this is Idam Loka. Pratyaksha Loka, and this is Paroksha Loka, Asau Loka. Then you have something that connects those two. And it can be a physical connection, like for example we have Earth here and the Sun there, and there is a physical connection between them in terms of space. Or it could be the subtle connection of the upaya. How do you get from here to there? It has a connection. So all of the requirements to go from one to the other can also be called as a connection. So this is what is called as antariksha. Antariksha means the intermediate world, rules, all the upayas that allow you to go from here to there is called antariksha. And it is also provided as, for example, the bhu is the feet. Bhu is the feet, which stabilizes you into this existence. You are a solid person, we have a solid experience. This one is something we can relate to. I don't know about Swarga and whether we tell about Swarga and all that. I don't know about it. But I experience this world very well. Similarly here also, I'm very stable with my feet. And it is really the beginning point of my experience, which is called the feet. The Asau Loka, which is the heaven, Swahaha, is also provided as the head. Because this is most superior and finer, and so this is the head. And also the means of doing things are provided by the hand. Really speaking, the hands are the most important thing for you to move around and so on and so forth. So the antariksham is signified by bhuva. So bhuhu, bhuvaha, swahaha. And then, one should not forget the Om, which is the basis of all three yajnas. This is the Om, which is the main trunk, so to speak. This is the one that all limbs depend upon. So, this is called Maha. Then, and I'm sorry, I could not go into a lot of details about the Aditya and so on and so forth, because we have a lot to cover today. But here, for example, this one right here, this Aditya should be looked upon as the essence and the light. The lightness and the essence of idam lokaha antariksham unata lokaha. This is going to be repeated when I go to the next section, so I'm going to defer talking about that for a minute. But that's what Aditya is. Then we have this column here is the Devaka. That are in charge of these experiences. This is kind of like a functional head, general manager sort of like, in charge of that. And so Ishvara provides multitasking. So the Agnihi and Vayuhu and Aditya are all, in addition to providing their own function, also responsible for idam lokaha, antariksham, and asau lokaha, this thing. And similarly, Chandrama, Devata, is responsible for taking one to Omkara. Again, and a lot of other details to this. I don't want to even broach that subject and why that is the case and so on and so forth. But take it as it is for the time. I think we have some other things to talk about that are more relevant to that. Anyway, so this is the Devataha that are responsible for the three Vyahiti, Chandrama, Agni, Vayu, and Aditya. Here are the three Vedas. Here, Atharva is not talked about. The Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, and Yajus Veda, that are directly corresponding to the Bhu, Bhuvaha, Swaha. Why that is the case, I am myself not sure about. I think I used to know it, and I'll have to look at my notes. But I just wanted to just mention that. And then the Omkara, which is the sound symbol for Om, pervades all the Vedas. It is the trunk of all the Vedas. As such, this is the essence of all the Vedas, and so that's why it is there. Similarly here, the functioning of its body in terms of the pranaha, apanaha, and dhyanaha, and the annam, which is the food that creates the sense of light in us. That's why annam is very important. It is given to us because without that we cannot live. We have to really just have food. So the annam corresponds to the maha. And again there is pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha. And all three of them signify the completeness at every stage, either at a individual stage or at a macro stage of which is Om and Maha. So therefore, in summary, I'm going to now go to the next section. Hu, Bhuvaha, Swaha, which is technically not part of the Gayatri Mantra, simply explains the completeness signified by Om. Symbol of totality, of infinity, all aspects of it. It's as though you were to describe your body, you would say, well, body, somebody says, describe the body. What do you mean by body?
Well, the body has a trunk, it has the hands, it has legs, it has a head. So then I think I am now completely, so far, you know, you can go into more details and so on. But you can say this is the body. Similarly, here also, Om Bhuvaha, Bhuvu, Bhuvaha, Svaha are called Vyahitindi. And it is simply a sacred symbol to utter before doing anything, as a sense of appreciation of the totality of the Lord. That's it. Okay. I'm going to now go to the next section, which is the section on meditation. Before I do that, let me rearrange the words so that you can appreciate the grammar of it. Tat savituhu varenyam bhargo devasya dhimahi. Dhimahi. Let's start with this one. So this is Vidhi Ling, for those of you that are still studying Sanskrit. Vidhi Ling and the sense of that is Mehi. That's the plural, which is another very interesting thing. If you look at this. Most of the meditation is done in a singular form. I meditate. I look upon you, Lord, and so on and so forth. This is one of the reasons, in fact, Swami Dayananda talked about this. This is one of the reasons why this is such an important mantra. Because this is a mantra where that means you are chanting on behalf of people who are not chanting. It's plural. And so you can extend the plurality to anywhere you like. You can say, this is on behalf of my husband or my wife. Or you can say, this is for the community. This is for the nation. This is for California. It depends on your own thinking. Really speaking, we do it for just like you have a common prayer for everybody, here also, maybe all, because this is something very fundamental. It does not just apply to me locally, it applies to everybody, and therefore, may I chant on behalf of everybody. That's why it's plural. Now, believing. So, believing here has a sense of a sort of like, may we do it. And in fact, it has a sense of the present. That we do it right now. We are meditating on you at the moment. And it has a sense of foreboding, that may I meditate on you effectively. So, dhimati. Okay, so that is the verb dhimati. Now comes the rest of the sentence. So there we have, let's rearrange it. So, Savituhu Devasya. Varenyam dhi. We meditate upon, may we meditate upon. Savituhu devasya varenyam. That is varenyam bhargaha. this is the sixth case in Sanskrit. Sambandha means of the Savitra Devata. Of the Savitra Devata. Savituhu Devasya. Bharjaha Varenyam Bharjaha. So Bharjaha means here effulgent. Light. This is why I said earlier that Aditya Devataha also signifies light. And so this is a very important thing. We'll spend a few minutes on what does it mean, what is the effulgence and what is the light. So I'll explain that. The word meaning first, effulgent. Varenyam can also be is the same as varenyam. Varenyam means, vara means here, one which is, what's the word that we use here? Adorable. Adorable means one which is laudable, one which is worth emulating. Worth understanding. Great. This is the modern thing is great. Vayanyam bhagraha. Now, please make a note of this. This is a neuter noun. In fact, it is called bhargat. And so from bhargat, it becomes bharjaha. And varenyam is a quality. So this is the noun, and then this is the adjective. Varenyam bharjaha. And therefore, tat is also used. So tat also is neuter. For those of you that are studying Sanskrit, here it is brahma, which is a neuter noun. So here in this, so now the word meanings are over. Savituhu devasya tat varenyam bhargaha. Savituhu devasya varenyam bhargaha tat dhimasya. That would be better. Let's put the tat over on. I'm sorry, I'm messing up here. The tat could be here. You can even say yat. You can add a yat. Yat. Varenyam bhargaha tat dhimasya. The one which is the adorable effulgence of the Savitra Devata, that is the one I am meditating. That would be the right Sanskrit sentence. But the yat is implied in the tat. So he says, tat dhimasya savituhu devata, devasya bhargaha. Okay. All right, so let's go back to our, again, the same chart where it has a kind of a visible elementary appreciation, the thank you example, and then an understanding, a fuller understanding of it. Same thing applies here also. So in the beginning, you have this saguna upasana. So over here, you have saguna upasana. What does that mean? Means that your meditation means absorbed thinking. This would be the right meaning for meditation, an absorbed thinking. It's like you're reading a book and you're very absorbed in it. You're totally involved with it at the complete exclusion of irrelevant thoughts.
So you're really, that's all it is. That's meditation. A complete appreciation, you may have different thoughts, but they're all conforming to the same subject, not different subjects. So this is meditation. And that meditation, in the beginning, is saguna. Saguna meaning that it is visible, it is elementary, it has this quality. And that we begin by looking at the sun as the symbol. Very appropriate symbol. Why? Because, really speaking, for the bhuvaha, for the bhuhu, bhuvaha, swaha, let's say for the bhuhu, the presiding person that really provides us with life is a very important part of the design of the whole universe. We have discussed it many times in our Vedanta classes, but just like a computer engineer, a hardware engineer, has to first look at the CPU, the central processing unit. Everything else is then designed around it. Should we have I.O. units, we have memory, and this, that, or the other. But without the central processing unit, the whole thing falls apart. The sun is the CPU of our creation. The Lord has to think about, okay, now how do I do this? So I have to provide a source of light, I have to provide a source of heat, and I have to provide season, and I have to provide location. How do I do all of this? Everything is done. And the sun is the one that provides us with rain and the vapor, the clouds, the rain, the water, and from there comes the ocean air, from the annam that provides us with the light. The whole thing just depends on this. So the sun is a very appropriate place for starting our meditation. And so in the beginning we say, and this is why you can do the Vyasa Mantra early in the morning when you get up, and you can do a sankalpa. In fact, I'll just mention that now. Somebody asked me also when is the right time to do it. And traditionally what is done is that in the three sandhya, so in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, then those are the three sandhya. You can do it any time you want to, but those are the best times to do it. My own sankalpa was to do it in the morning, and so I made a point about 25 years ago that when I'm taking a shower, I don't forget to do prayatima. So I just do it in the sankalpa, and then I purify myself, and then while I'm taking a shower, sometimes long shower, sometimes short shower, but whatever the length of the shower is, Om Bhurtu Vatpada Saditu Vaheyam. And I may do it at other times, I may forget, but in the morning I don't go without taking a shower. And so this is a given to me. So, or you can do it as soon as you get up in the morning and you look at the sun. This is a very good thing to do. There are lots of different mantras for the sun. You can use the very thing for that as well. The main thing I wanted to point out is that the Savitru Devata, the Savitru Devata meditation is the right one. And in the beginning, you simply say, I admire the light and the effulgence of the sun, which is incomparable. Other light sources are not reliable, especially in India. you can go anytime. Anything can happen. But the sun, you cannot say the sun never takes a holiday. This is in fact a very special gift of the Ishvara. This is Ishvara, not separate from the Ishvara. That is Ishvara itself. And so, in the very beginning, you have Savituru Devasya Yat Varenyam Bhargaha Tat Vastat Dhi. That is the one that I mentioned. then, as you progress in this understanding of this, ultimately what you have to see is the light of the light. The light without which is even superior than the sun, which is Om. Now, just give you a very short introduction to it. Again, time doesn't permit to do it, but you just get at least an inkling of what it meant. By Savita, Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Timahi, when you have the understanding. And so this understanding, then Natasya Suryo Bhati. Natasya Suryo Bhati Chandrakarayam Nema Vishito Tameva Bhanta Manu Bhati Sarvam Tasya Bhata Sarvam Dhamma. That is the prayer. That is the prayer. That is the real essence of that. And so, and what that means is that the light of the Atma, the light of the consciousness, is, in fact, the sun does not even light it. You, the Atma, lights up the sun. The sun cannot light the Atma. And the Atma, and so this consciousness, is self-existing. It is not made up of any parts. The sun may be made up of parts. The scientists will tell you that they don't give so much importance to the sun. It's just some burning orb and it's just slowly dying out and so on. And so it's made up of parts and it's going and it's just physical and it's just inert. They'll give you all kinds of accusations, which is not true. It is a very well-designed thing. And if it is going out, it is also part of the whole design. It's just going to regenerate itself, and all of that is separate. The Atma, which is the inner light in ourselves, appreciate it. This light of consciousness, which lights up the sun, and never extinguishes it. Not possible to extinguish itself. It is in fact self-existent. This is the real meditation. So this is the, you can say this is the sun of Krishna. Source of the shoulder. And no control. This is the very essence of, this is the Varenya. This is the Varenya. Like any glory, any greatness, any adorability can either be secondary in the sense that it is borrowed. Just like, for example, you have the fire. The heat of the fire is intrinsic. The sweetness of the sugar is intrinsic. It may be borrowed by some cookie. You can say this cookie is very sweet. That means that it may be not be sweet. But you cannot say the sugar is not sweet. So if it is real sugar, then it is sweet. And so the varenyam, the real adorability, the laudability, the greatness comes from love. This is very adorable. And any other kind of greatness of the sun is only for the beginning, for the elementary, where you say that I admire the light that you give me, and so on and so forth. You sustain my very life, the prana, apana, jnana, all the vyapati. But real non-ability, the brain is there for now. The one which never goes out. The light which never goes out. That is an inner to you, which is me. This is the brain. And it is, in fact, the intrinsic Varenyam, out of which the Varenyam is borrowed by the suns and the moons and so on. Really, Atma is the source of the Varenyam. It is the source of the Bhagat, the effulgent. And it is the original Varenyam which is then borrowed by all the others. So in this section of meditation of Tat Savituru Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Srimadhi, again you have a progression where the child is first says, forget about the Atma, it is too subtle, let's not talk about it. Let's just do the prayer to the sun. Something you can relate to, sun comes up, it's physical. And just like you're saying thank you, you just repeat it for the time being. But then as you grow, you see some meaning in it. You have an understanding of the importance of it. And it ends not in the sun, but in the Atma. It ends in the Atma. This is the section. Okay? So let's go to the third and the last section. And hopefully we'll have some time for question and answer as well. This is a prayer, section and prayer. Dhiyaha yaha naha prachodayat. Yaha naha dhiyaha prachodayat. Prachodanam kuryat. And here, yahaha, who, so now see that the gender has changed. From here it was neuter, it has become masculine. And so, this refers to the Atma, the self, which the, in the grammatical sense is male gender. Nahaha dhiyaha prachodayat, prachodanam kuryat. So prachodanam means a push. Proactive. That would be the right word in the present word. Not reactive, but the proactive push. Push me in this direction. Impel me in this direction. Kuryat means may he. So here it could even be the either Ishvara or Atma. It could be both Atma as well as Ishvara. Ishvara in the sense of the person, the overall person. May that person push. Push what? Nahaha dhiyaha. Dhiyaha is the accusative plural of dhi, which is the mind. may he push our, may he push the mind. And whose mind? Nahagiyaha. Our mind. Again, the plural matches with the theme. So, Nahagiyaha Prachodayat.
So, this is, as you know, for those of you that are studying Sanskrit,
Asmakam and Naha are both optional. So, sixth phase of Aham. Of our Dhyaha Prachodayaha. So, this is a section on prayer. This is a section on recognition and appreciation. This is a section on dwelling on the meaning of the word, and then a prayer. Why a prayer? Why a prayer? Because in the creation, something which is very worthwhile takes place. It's not going to be just like that. Because it would violate the very principle of creation. Even though it is prasasya prasthi, already achieved. It's interesting, Swamiji, a lot of people ask Swamiji, Swamiji, is it difficult? Is it easy to understand? Difficult? Swamiji says, it is you. Are you difficult? Are you easy? Then how is it that I don't understand? That's the question I should ask you. Don't ask me. So the answer to that is really speaking that an understanding of the subtlety about myself is something which I have to grow up. Right? That's the topic of our evening class today from 5 to 6:30. It is adhikar. So this adhikarik thing is that, anyway, leaving aside that, it is not an effort like climbing a mountain where it's very difficult, you cannot, you know, going to Everest is very difficult. And I don't understand why they do it without oxygen. What a challenge. It's even harder on themselves than they climb on the most difficult part of the mountain and so on. Not like that. At the same time, like any other knowledge, you have to understand and grow into it. And in the process of doing so, problems can come. And I may waste my time, and I may really spoil the very goods that are going to deliver me. So those possibilities exist. And for that reason, it's prayer. And the prayer is essentially not as though the Lord, the Ishvara, is not happy with me or anything. Really, the prayer is for my own self. That when I pray, I really provide my own sankalpa. So let's look at the sankalpa. What is it? Swamiji was very articulate on this. And he gave lectures to this. Why this is such an important mantra. So let's look at that. So, finishing up the word means Yaha Naha Dhyaha Prachodayat. Naha Dhyaha Yaha Prachodanam Kurya. May he push our mind in the right direction. This is the thing. This is an important thing. Now let's look at the meaning. Some energy was saying that suppose you are a youngster, 7, 8, 9 years of age, and you are supposed to say you are taught prayer by your parents. Okay? Prayer in the sense that please try to achieve something, try to be something, look for something better. Those are the kind of meanings of the prayer. What would that be? Suppose we are given a prayer. Okay, so supposing you have to give a prayer to the youngster. What would it be?
Huh? Well, possibilities are make a lot of money for me. May I become rich? One possibility. May I be healthy? May I be good? Whatever that means. Dharma. Etc. You can make a long list. Everybody has a slightly different list. And really speaking, if you ask the parents, if you say, okay, you know, I should do this, my son just gave you my kind of thing, I should really ask them. What prayers are you going to give to your child? You say, I don't know, just be successful, I guess. What is the meaning of success? What is success? Happy, perhaps? Or how happy? I don't know how happy. It's really not very clear.
Why is so? Because from the MMG also said, in fact, one of the interface sent me a website in which there is a video from then and be talking about this. In fact, I'll send it to you. And so you can also look at it. It's just remarkable how technology is. I was just doing this like when I was preparing for this class, looking through all the sources so that I have a complete introduction to this. And this was a talk that he gave at a meeting in Haridwar 2 years ago. And in the audience, there was Swamiji sitting here. Next to him was Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. And then there is this Pranava Mahatma. He's done a wonderful job of actually teaching the Gayatri Mantra to all the villages and so on and so forth, dividing the whole thing. And so they were trying to, they had invited Swamiji to give a talk on this. It's a very short section, like 6 to 7 minutes. This is a question which really struck me as how he presented this to the people and so on. What he said was that look at, and in fact he pointed it out, you will see, if you see the video, you will see, he pointed it out to Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. And then look at this person. What he is today is a result of is the result of a number of the right decisions. It's as though you start, which is really true, not as though, you start here, and you're given lots of choices. You choose one of them. You go there, and then you're given lots of choices. You go over here. Then you're given lots of choices. You go over here. And your mind presents you with all kinds of alternatives. And what you end up choosing determines your understanding of the whole. An understanding that, in fact, Ishwara and I are not any different. I am excluding Ishwara from my life. I need to be Ishwara. I need to be not any different from him. If this is my goal, in order to understand that, I have to make the right decision. And he says, may I always make the right decision. Lord, may you be there with me as the Antaryami, helping me make the right decision. Because this is the right decision. Your youngster, again the same thing. Let's start of ourselves in the beginning. You teach the youngster that please bring Ishvara into your life, and as a separate individual. Maybe because the child also doesn't know how to make decisions. So the child is given the parents and the friends and teachers and so on and so forth. Ultimately, as you progress down this path, you find that really speaking, Ishvara is the one as the Antaryami that proposes programs to you. Why do you do this? And you have to select the right one. This is in fact what makes you what you are. And we are not sometimes strong enough to really make those decisions. And may my strength of the mind come from the Lord. May the Lord be with me at all times so that I make the right decisions in my life. And once I make the right decisions, I reject things that are inconsequential or trivial and go after the real thing, then my understanding of the self becomes very clear and becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. I have to earn myself. This is okay. So, here also, I remember in my own experience in life that when I met Swamiji, first I got introduced to Vedanta Bhakti Chinnanandaji, and then I met Swamiji. And I was, I guess, 33, 34 years of age in my life, and doing well at Peter Packard. I was a product marketing manager of a new computer system, and everything was going well for me. And back in 1972, and then we asked Swami Dayananda to establish a school in Okavango in the U.S. My secret desire was that I wanted to tell you the depth he was. And so the decision came to me, you know, can I give up my job and do this? And really, it's not an easy decision. There were other people affected. My wife was affected. My children were affected. My own career was affected. To be going away from it. But really speaking, I have to listen to my inner voice. That this is something I have to do. I have to fight against the urges of just making money and doing this, that, or the other. And that one decision really changed my life. And so similarly, you just have to keep on making decisions after decision after decision. And ultimately, you, Ishvara is not a foreign body that dictates. It's your own thinking, your own mind. And so therefore, this prayer is a very important one that may the expression of Ishvara in the form of my own thinking goad me in the right direction. Yaha, yaha, naha, prachodaya. So that's the end. So this is a important mantra which starts with a rather simple recognition, a simple thinking, and a simple prayer for the youngster. And then as you begin to grow, with the help of the mantra, you also become more deeply aware of the significance of it. And finally, then, one becomes eligible for learning that one is already complete and there is nothing left out. I'm very happy that you understand this at some length. Thank Nagesh, who told us to have this class. It's wonderful. So with that, I will end the class and perhaps a few minutes of question and answer. And then, Om Mantra Om Mantra Om
Yeah.
The question is that
he read right through it, not writing more. So you have to get yourself to a level where, when, in fact, you probably have read the essence of the Vedas many times, but you don't think this is the essence of the Vedas.
No, I mean, just the Om itself is everything. You know?
No, but even beyond that, the essence of the Veda is that Brahma Satyam Jagan Nitya Jivo Brahma Evana Apara. This is the essence of the Veda. That really you are the very Satyam, everything else is just Mithya, and you are not distant from the Ishvara, this is the essence of it. Now what are you going to do about it? You say, okay, let's see where we have better. Go like that. So this is the situation. And so from one Om, you have one verse, you have lots of verses, they're all available. So the whole question is not to find it, but to equip yourself to a point where you can recognize when you see it. But the other side from that is really required. So one has to rechange the thinking. It's not as though, you know, I know everything. I just have to look at a couple of things and then it will be clear. That's not the way I should look at it. But I should look at it as there. That if I'm really sincere in my looking at it, then the answers come slowly. So you are attracted to the right situation. Correct my mistake, and meeting meat is a mistake. So one
one should correct it, and it may come sometime in one's life.
Yes.
Correct. So those are simply the more detailed prayers if you have the explanation and the time to do that. So it is very similar to this. This is more of a summary mantra, but you can expand it into individual. You can do it. Just like, for example, you have Rudram. And so each portion of the Rudram can be Ganapatha. So Ganapatha can be going on for four hours. So similarly here also, you can, if you have the time, you can certainly do that. Yeah, I had a quick question for those of you that are going to be coming to the Mundaka class. So we're going to start the Mundaka Upanishad next week. My question was, how busy are you on the 24th, the following week? Because I think the evening classes we will not hold, because I think even myself, I'm also busy in the evening and so on. And I know, Amit, you're not going to be here. And just think for a minute, if there are lots of hands that I will not hold it on the 24th, otherwise I'm continuing to do it. How many people prefer that we do not have the class on the 24th? Not just it. So what we will do is we will have an introductory class next week and perhaps not even get into the Upanishad, just to explain the word Upanishad and so on. Then we have a 2-week break, 24th and 20th and the 31st, and we will begin again. And I'm sincere, if you have any questions that I could not answer, please send me an email, and I would be glad to give you any advice and so on.
So there is a Tara here. Yeah. So it is, I think it is the computer. It is there. It is there. No, it is there actually, but I think it is hidden inside the back.
Maybe the light seems to be the un-